Produced by Women About Women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who are trailblazers and have helped shape our world, transforming who we are and how we live.
Hello, everyone. Time for another edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. We, of course, want to thank you so much for joining us today. It is quite the honor to have today's powerful woman with us, and she is powerful. We welcome Lupe Ramos Montani. She is no stranger to many, being a well-known educator, political activist, and grassroots organizer who continues to be so very busy, especially these days. And we'll get to why she's so busy in a moment. But first, a little background and a side note. This is just the short version because there's not enough time in the world to list all of her accomplishments and accolades. To start, she's an educator, retired now, but worked for the Michigan Public Schools and, of course, for Grand Rapids Public Schools. But for 36 years, she was in education, from teacher to principal. But she's also well-known in civic action. One of her biggest accomplishments has to do with being on the first committee seeking to honor Cesar E. Chavez, which turned into a movement. We'll get to that, but I also want to mention that Ms. Ramos Montani also served in politics, serving as the first Latina to serve as the Kent County Democratic Party chair, as well as second vice chair for the Michigan Democratic Party. Lupe Ramos Montani, welcome to today's Powerful Woman. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Jennifer, for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And it's a pleasure for us to have you here. Before we take a deeper dive into all that you do and some of your words of encouragement and wisdom, I should mention that you have served on and continue to serve on countless boards, and you've received awards such as the Mayor George Hartwell Champion of Diversity Award, the Dave and Carol Van Andel Leadership Award, and an honorary WGVU I Have Made a Difference Award as well. That's just to name a few. And by the way, you are a Grand Valley graduate, getting your master's here. And so you continue to work hard here in this Grand Rapids community. But you actually started coming to Michigan as a little girl.
That's right. That's right. My family would travel from Weslaco, Texas, to harvest a crop in Caseville, Michigan. And then we would go to Old Mission Peninsula and pick cherries. And then we would go pick tomatoes in Indiana. So that's how I was introduced to this beautiful state. We came for 3 years, and then we quit coming. And so, but in my mind, as I went to high school and also the university, I always thought I have to return because, in my mind, Michigan was Old Mission Peninsula. And if you have been there, it is a beautiful part of our state. And so I came. And the people and the students that I work with were the farm workers, and I taught their children. So that was really a thrill for me because like 10 years before, I had been one of those children. And so that's how I made my stay here, especially here in Grand Rapids, as my home. And now I have been here for many, many years, more years here than in Texas. But I'm originally from Weslaco, Texas.
Wow. And so, and you love the fact that you're back in Michigan, of course, after all these years.
Absolutely.
This is the place you were meant to be.
Yes.
And you've made quite an impact. So you continue to pursue your dreams from educator to politician to community activist. And we should mention one of your biggest accomplishments, and part of it is still a work in progress, actually, and that's your work to get a street permanently named after Cesar E. Chavez. And you started that committee back in 2000.
That's exactly right. One of my accomplishments has been working with the community, elevating those people that have made a difference in the lives of the underprivileged, the students that need that encouragement or need the funds to go to college. And so Cesar Chavez, you know, he helped the farm workers. I used to be a farm worker. So that's one of the reasons why his testimony, his teachings, his contributions are very important in my life. And so I want to elevate his story, inform more people, educate more students about who Cesar was, his principles. He always he had about 10 principles, and of course those words like commitment, determination, unity, community, And so those are the principles that I live by, and also I teach and inform the public. So it is extremely very important to me right now as we go through this healing process, because our country is in such racial tension, and we have to uplift ourselves from that. And so I feel strongly that this is the time, this is the right time to also put Cesar's name in a very prominent place, that people, students, generations to come can drive down Cesar y Chavez Avenue and also remember why that street was named after Cesar. So he was a determined person, a committed person. He lived by the principles of Gandhi and also Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., nonviolence approach to our struggles and our plights. So this is what I want to, the legacy that I want to leave Grand Rapids and also the community and the students, that there are people from all walks of life, from all ethnic groups that have made strong, important contributions to the history of this community, this state, and also the country, and internationally. I strongly believe, too, that his name, Cesar Estrada Chavez, should be taught in the schools. When students finish their schooling, whether it's high school or higher ed, they should know the name. As I did, I had to learn David Crockett and all of those people that at that time was felt that they were contributing to the history of Texas. And so we had to learn that, but we never, ever heard one Hispanic name that was making a difference. And so it is my responsibility, mm-hmm, as a grassroots organizer, as a community leader, to also teach about Cesar Estrada Chavez. So,
and we're trying to get a street now named permanently in his honor, not just honorary.
Correct? Yes, because there would be a very prominent way to elevate his name. But not only that, but it's a very important way to unify the city. The Granville Avenue, which we're trying to rename, goes from Clyde Park all the way to downtown Watson Southwest. So we will be also like connecting the barrio to the downtown. And so what better way to unite the city than to have Cesar's name? What better way to proclaim that we are contributors of the history of this country? And so if and when that day comes, which probably it will take about a year, there's a lot of steps that we have to follow. And as you know, Jennifer, we are joining hands with the African-American community. And this effort, this project, we call MARCH, Marching Ahead for Remarkable Civil Rights Heroes. And the two heroes are Cesar Estrada Chavez and Martin Luther King Jr. Mm-hmm. And so we're working on this project together. And so that's another reason why this is so important, because unity in the community in this healing process is so important. And now we're going to be joining hands with the African-American community and trying to get this, renaming these two streets, mm-hmm, at the same time. And I think that is powerful.
Absolutely. And speaking of powerful, as a powerful woman, and that's going to be part of your legacy, because you started it back in 2000, the movement there, and it continues in 2021. And so, like you said, and maybe in a year you'll know, but even the unification along the process probably is a good thing well,
yes,
working together.
Right.
So, you know, you look at powerful women, they don't get to be powerful without having to deal with life's issues. And you've done so much. Tell me about any potential barriers that you may have faced along your pathway. I mean, I would only imagine that you had to encounter some.
You know, growing up in Weslaco, Texas, there literally was a railroad track that separated the Americans of Mexican descent with the Americans of European descent. We couldn't cross that railroad track. And so that was something that I didn't understand. Now, we went to my side of del barrio, my side of the town. It wasn't a big city. It was like a town. That we were all Mexican-Americans. We spoke Spanish. I didn't learn how to speak English until I was 6 years old. And so everywhere you went to the post office in our side. They spoke Spanish, the grocery stores, the stores, you know, just to go buy clothing or whatever. Everybody spoke Spanish. But then when we were graduating from sixth grade, we had to cross those railroad tracks. And there was fear that I had to cross those railroad tracks because we never knew what was the other side, what was in the other side. But seventh grade, we had to cross the railroad tracks. Now, going back to the street, that's one thing that separates the barrio from the downtown area. There's literally a railroad track. Mm-hmm. And so our plan is to rename Granville. And so that railroad track reminds me of when I was growing up mm-hmm. and the fear I had crossing that railroad track. Now, you know, I am an elected official. I have won 3 honorary doctorates. I have so many different accolades because of the work that I'm engaged with. But even then, there's places here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where I don't feel welcomed. I don't feel like, you know, they look at me. They're very friendly to everybody else, but then I cannot hide myself because I'm brown. And so what I used to do, I finished my term in December of 2020. But what I used to do when that occurred, I would get my business card, my State Board of Education business card, and I would go and introduce myself to the people that were working in any particular store. And I would say, you know, I'm Lupe. I serve on the state board. I serve your children. I serve the children of the state of Michigan. And then the air would clear. I was an okay person. You know, I'm
all of a sudden it just
official.
Changed. Yeah, it just changed.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So those are the people think that because my name is known, because I elected, because I've got an honorary doctorate, because I am involved to the degree that I'm in, I don't have any obstacles. I'm so strong. And so, yes, I am strong, but all of those things bother me. They're barriers up to now. So after, you know, traveling from West Lico, Texas over here, we were 9 children in my family. 6 girls and 3 boys. And so the 2 boys, oldest boys, they were working to go to higher ed, to the university. And my dad would bring the 6 girls, and the oldest was a boy, and my mom and dad and another family. And we would travel in this truck. And so I didn't yet had crossed a railroad track. So I didn't understand racism. I didn't understand prejudice. I didn't understand anything.
Because
you've
been sheltered.
I didn't know
you were still on the other side.
Yes.
You hadn't gone to the other side yet. You didn't know what was over there.
I hadn't crossed the railroad track. And my dad, I don't know how he found the places because the farms were very remote, but he would find them. So that tells me my dad was pretty intelligent. But I remember one evening, and he was very tired. And he, you know, you drink coffee and energize yourself. And so he stopped at a restaurant to get coffee. And I remember because when we stopped, that truck had like boards in the back part where we were. Mm-hmm. And the boards didn't touch each other. There was a
like
place
flats
that we could peer out. Mm-hmm. And we were watching my dad walk into the restroom with the thermos, and he came right back. And the way he was walking now was not that dad, that the only thing he had to do is look at me and I had to behave. You know, I knew I was misbehaving. No, he was not walking like my dad. And so that's when I realized, well, I didn't realize it. I was a little girl. I was maybe when I used to come, I was in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. Mm-hmm. So then my mom says, what happened? And he says, well, they don't serve Mexicans. And so then I don't serve Mexicans. You know, that's when I started learning that there was such a thing. Mm-hmm. So obstacles are there, but it's how you take care of those obstacles to move ahead.
Absolutely. And that goes into my next question. With all that you've accomplished, I know women, young women, older women want to know, how did you then, with that, find your own voice, get comfortable in your own skin? I mean, especially when you think about the many times that you were the first Latina to accomplish certain things. How did you get comfortable with Lupe?
Well, you know, we were nine children and we were six girls. And I was one of the younger girls. And so my two oldest brothers, Ismael, became a pastor of a church. And then my Rodolfo, he was an immigration attorney. So they were my role models. And there was no question that Lupe was going to go on to a university. And I was going to be a teacher all the time. When I was little, like I'm going to say in third grade, fourth grade, they didn't know what to do with me because I would finish my work and then I would bother everybody else. So what the teacher did, she assigned me three students that I was a little girl.
You're tutoring or helping others at that point?
Yes, I was the teacher of those three children, and I was supposed to help them with spelling and math. And so, so I've been a teacher all my
life. Really?
So there was no question that I was going to go to school. And after I crossed that railroad track, I became more assertive. I became more sure of who I was, even though every time I spoke Spanish and this teacher was always looking out for me, they send me to the office and they would tell me, don't speak Spanish anymore. They didn't tell me why I was not to. Maybe it's because they wanted me to increase my vocabulary or practice on my accent. I don't know, but because they didn't tell me, we always thought, well, they're discriminating against me because I speak Spanish. And so they would send me to the office all the time. And so one day I said to my friends, let's study Spanish in front of the teacher's door. And I'll be the spokesperson. And oh, no, we're scared. No, don't be scared. So we did. And he comes out, didn't I tell you not to speak Spanish? I said, oh, but Mr. whatever his name was, we're studying our Spanish lesson. So then he couldn't do anything, right? Mm-hmm. So
you became more determined, and that helped you kind of center in on who you are, your voice within yourself.
Yes, yes, yes. So see, I was cultivating that assertiveness and determination and commitment to myself and others that we could be successful, that I was going to be successful. So in my life, I have used the motto, do not allow anyone or anything to get in your way of progress, no matter what it is. And I have gone through a lot of different things, mm-hmm. But with the guidance of my parents, my brothers and sisters, and I have had many mentors throughout, and I'm just real determined that there is a way, and people can only say yes or no. Mm-hmm. So I ask for, like this project, they can say yes or no. But if I don't ask, I'll never know if it was going to be a yes or a no. So I my advice to young people is, como dijo César, sí se puede. You know, Dolores Huerta and César Chávez used that as their motto. Yes, you can. President Obama used it in his campaign. Yes, you can. And so when you feel that you can't, you have to say to yourself, yes, I can. Sí se puede. And so if you live with that determination and commitment to yourself, you will succeed because nobody can stop you. A lot of people will try. And even now, you think everybody in Grand Rapids is so excited that we're trying to rename two streets after the two American civil rights heroes? No, they're not. And so we have a mission in our hands, and that's to touch hearts and to change minds. And then that's another thing that I have used throughout my career, touch hearts and change minds.
I like that.
Yes. And also, you know, the two heroes that we're honoring at this particular year, this particular time in this year, are two individuals that practiced and taught to take care of your problems in a nonviolent way. Mm-hmm. And so as we go through, you know, walking down the street, giving out flyers for our meetings and stuff, they tell us that, you know, after reading our flyer, and they say, nonviolent, I like that, I will embrace this. And so, and as I started my conversation with you, not a lot of people embrace the life and legacy of these two American heroes. Mm-hmm. So that's another mission, another charge that I as an individual have. I will be meeting with what we call in the committee to honor Cesar E. Chavez, our unity partners. Mm-hmm. And those are the university presidents or vice presidents or provosts, whomever they choose to send, or CEOs or principals or superintendents. We have 16 unity partners in our group. I will be meeting with them next week. And so one of the things that I would like to recommend to them, and I will be doing that, is to institutionalize the life and legacy of these two American heroes, mm-hmm. Cesar E. Chavez and Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is very important to celebrate them once a year, at least, right? But again, every child that goes through our schools should know the names, at least, of these two American heroes and the contributions that they made to the history of this country.
And it's that type of movement that can help people find their voices. Now, on this next question is a much lighter question, but it's one that I always ask. What is it, Lupe, that makes you laugh?
Me.
you can laugh at yourself. That's a good.
No,
we
no.
all like to be able to laugh at ourselves in certain elements. But what makes you laugh?
What makes me laugh? Okay, I love to dance, and you know our Hispanic music, Latin music, is so rhythmic and so upbeat. And so, what makes me laugh? Last week, On Friday night, we celebrated my granddaughter's 12th birthday. And one of the things that we did was dance. And so it was just so much fun. It was just every Friday she comes for a sleepover. And so it was herself and a friend. And so we danced and we, you know, they would pose and we modeled mm-hmm. and did a lot of crazy girl things, quote
unquote.
That
makes you laugh. That keeps you going.
And, oh, that made me laugh. I hadn't laughed so hard in a long time. Another thing that makes me laugh is there's some people that are real good with jokes. Mm-hmm. And there I have a friend that comes and when we're partying or we're eating dinner and he's always saying a joke. And, you know, that to the point that my stomach hurts, I laugh so hard. Also, I have a friend that is a real good friend, and she's like my younger, she's a younger than I, and she's like my mentor. And she keeps me upbeat, and we just talk about everything and anything. And there's a section that we just laugh, you know, because laughter is good for the soul.
That is absolutely it.
And laughter is, you have to laugh. And so that makes you happy. It makes you happy. But I everybody tells me, well, why are you always so upbeat? And I say, well, you have to, because you have to. you have to be positive. You have to be optimistic. Working on this project with the streets, everybody tells me, you know, it's not going to be done. I said, yes, but it's very up. I'm going to stay very optimistic and upbeat that it is going to happen.
Good for you. And Lupe Ramos Montani, we only touched the surface, but I could talk with you for hours. I really, really enjoyed our conversation. One of West Michigan's powerful women, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. We have lots to talk about, Jennifer, because being a woman, being an activist, being a political involved person, being a Latina, there's lots to cover and lots of struggles to overcome. But at the end of the day, we have to know that si se puede, yes, we can, and we will.
Yes, and I also want to thank all of our listeners as well for joining us for this edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Produced by women, about women. These powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at WGVU.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.